Hello, everyone. Before we begin this episode of the My Haunt Life podcast, a little information. During this episode, we're going to be doing our best to hit the highlights of what's been unfolding with the tension experience.
If you haven't been keeping up, we're doing this for you guys so you can hear. So basically any little thing that happened, that's what we're going through, and we're going through step by step.
This means we will be discussing some personal messages, personal emails that we received and some of our friends have received. We will be revealing some very specific details of the live event that people attended on April 30th. So, this isn't really a spoiler alert, it's just saying, heads up, we're going to spill the beans on what happened to us and a few of our friends. So if you want to remain in the dark, if you want the tension experience to remain even more mysterious than it already is, proceed with caution. Now, Mike and I have done several things which we will discuss in the second half of the podcast, but right up front, it's going to be mainly about the tension experience. So buckle up, folks. Some of this is thrilling, and some of this is mysterious. And you might just find some of it creepy.
Welcome to the My Haunt Life Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 11 of the My Haunt Life Podcast. I'm Russell.
And I'm Mike. And before we get into today's show, Russell doesn't know I'm going to do this, but...
Again? You're pulling this again?
Well, you're the one who's pulling it.
Oh.
It's his birthday tomorrow, and I wanted to say happy birthday, and hopefully you get spammed when this podcast comes out. And you get a gazillion texts saying happy birthday. But I thought I'd make it even more fun by... Hold on, please.
Oh, crap. What is this? Aw.
Here.
He's handing me a birthday card, folks.
And open it, and you can read it on the air. And I think you should read it. You don't have to read that part. I meant the inside.
Oh, it is very funny. The front of the card says, one of the first signs of getting old is when you get confused by simple tasks. I'm supposed to read this part?
You can. Oh, or the second part.
You have learned and have seen many things since your last day of birth. To gain true knowledge, you must use what you have learned and seen. Your gift is waiting for you to pass the test. Use what you have learned and have been taught in order to receive your gift. Here is your clue. You gave me a freaking puzzle for my birthday.
Happy birthday!
So there's a...
No, read that.
All right. Looking to the left or right to left, makes no difference. You must believe in yourself and find your center. Whatever you do, do not become bored. That is the key. And then there is a cipher sort of conglomeration of letters. I'm glad I can still mess with you even on your birthday. So, Mike, wow. That's really kind of you, sir. You know how much I appreciate that, actually. Oh, cool.
But I wanted you to read it because if you can't figure it out, you can ask people for help on Twitter if you need to.
Wait, so I'm supposed to figure it out right now?
No. I mean, because we don't
I don't do well under pressure.
We don't have enough time.
No, I guarantee you
on the recorder to do that.
All right. Okay.
But just because you can't do it now, I wanted you to give you something to at least open.
Oh, come on.
And you can open this and talk about it as well. You'll understand why.
He gave me a huge Snickers bar.
Team Snickers.
Which I will not open this now because I'll be tempted to eat it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And you know, and to be totally honest, hey, you know what? Last birthday I gave you a couple of puzzles too. So I think this is fair. I really appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
But I was able to figure those out.
So yes, because they were damn easy. So that's very cool. And he also gave me a Michael Myers decal, which is very, very cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So, thank you for wishing me happy birthday. And we'll talk a little bit later. We've actually done a couple of things on my birthday weekend, which will actually make their way later on into the podcast.
Yes. But before then, the tension experience. Oh, man, it never ceases to happen. But after we record and we post the podcast, a gazillion things seem to happen. For example, the day after we recorded the last podcast, one of the subliminal videos was posted. Within that video, it was about a 30-second video. And just like the previous one, it had some frames of hidden things in there. For example, the weekend that was posted, Russell went to Monsterpalooza. We talked about that in the last podcast. He met up with another fellow apostle, Andrew. Andrew is the person who whispered "Glory be" behind Russell's back.
And managed to mess with my brain just a little bit.
Exactly. They took a picture together and they put it on Instagram, Facebook, that kind of thing. And one of the stop frames was that picture from Monsterpalooza in the video. Some other things that are of interest is Andrew, who we just mentioned, had his avatar from the Tension forums and his face was X'd out randomly on a frame. So we don't really know what that means. They also made a note of tickets being on sale July 1st. We have no idea what the tickets are for, but something is going to happen in July or after July. We have no idea because it seems that there's still some things to happen before those tickets go on sale. For example, the orientation ceremony that was posted in the newsletter. Tickets for something are going on sale. Who knows?
And the orientation ceremony is listed for being at the end of June.
Right, June 25th. All apostles of the beginning need to remember that date. It's important. Some other things that were in that video, Tension or the OOA called out Sentinel. Sentinel, you might remember, was the hacking group that took over the site for about an hour and also their Facebook and Instagram. And they called them out as saying, "Where are you now?" So a war might be brewing between Sentinel and OOA, and it's going to get excited. There was a picture from our first meetup. We spoke about that in the last podcast where we all met up just to nerd out, have fun, talk, eat, all that. I took a picture of us and posted it on Instagram and Facebook. That picture ended up in the video as well, and Michael Gray's face was circled. But here's the weird thing. My picture was the first picture, and it looks very similar to the picture in the next frame, but it's a totally different picture. Russell's face is different. I think Debbie has her hand over her face in one. So there was another picture that someone took, and we're not exactly sure. It might have been Andrew since he had long arms and he took the picture from the same spot I did, but we don't know. We never confirmed it and we don't know where it came from. So that was kind of awesome and odd and scary at the same time. There was this weird text image that somebody wrote, and it's really funny because it ends with beep, boop, beep. And so you think it's just a robot talking or something. But what it said was, "How marvelous man used to look into the infinite abyss and wrestle with how his very essence fit into the world, but you've managed to turn your soul into actual quantifiable bits of data." Beep, boop, beep. Sorry.
And the end of scene. Well performed, end Mike. Scene.
Thank you. I am a robot. But and also the video included other things, like the first one, like links to some articles that were posted, and they flashed words from those articles and things like that. I went through that video and put down everything that happened frame by frame on My Haunt Life, so check that out when you get a chance. And then the big thing for me, at least, in that video was there was one of my pictures from my Facebook, one that I haven't posted on Instagram. It was just in my Facebook. And it had my image and I had my face circled and it said "On Way to Ascension." So I'm on my way to ascension, I guess, I hope, I think. So that's awesome.
Which again highlights something that we touched on in the last podcast, is it seems as this thing called the Tension Experience develops, they have made reference to each one of us having a different path. And it's really becoming clear with the interactions, not just you and me, Mike, with everyone that we talk to, everyone's getting some sort of individualized message, attitude, statements. So it's actually beginning to develop into multiple storylines.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think is so cool, because so much stuff out there that we do, it's one experience and that's it. There's no personalization. There's none of that. But here, there's lots of people involved and everybody is getting something different. You know, the core base of it might be similar, but it's still very, very personalized. Whether it be a phone call to you with calling out your name or something that you might have posted on Facebook or in the forums, or it might have been an email asking you about something on your questionnaire. People are getting specific things for themselves, and it's incredible.
It's really interesting how so many people have gotten slightly different variations on statements or directions. We know a couple of people who are directed to do specific tasks or something within the forums. And you mentioned the phone calls, Mike.
Oh, yes.
And that plays a key role in what also is included in that video and was the next event, which we ended up participating in not long afterwards.
Right. One of the other frames in that video, it made the internet blow up. Well, at least the forums blow up in the Facebook, because in one of the frames it said 36 will be chosen, and then it had the date of 4/30/16. So that was posted on a Monday, and 4/30/16 was that Saturday coming up. So people started going nuts, wondering how they were going to get invited. Did they have to do something? Would they just get a random phone call like before? We didn't know.
Especially since it said only 36 were going to be chosen. Obviously, this was not going to be a huge event. It was going to be relatively contained. So on that Monday that the video appeared, I actually received a phone call that afternoon. It was extremely hard to hear the phone call. It was very hard to make out. I believe it began with a comment that the OOA was satisfied with my path so far. I was told that I had stuck out in a crowd at an event, and which was obviously referring to Monsterpalooza because the Monsterpalooza photo was within the video. They stated that they had noticed what I was doing. So they told me that I was going to be extended an invitation for the upcoming event on Saturday. They informed me that a call would come later where they'd give me more specific information, but they also stated to me that they had gone through the process of asking people both to be vocal and visible, and they were very happy that I had obviously been both. And they also told me that I needed to be aware of my surroundings, and then the phone call ended.
And I got a phone call that same day as well. And what they said was that they didn't forget about me and that they expected to see me on Saturday. Oh, they also said something about I should be receiving something soon, and when I receive it, to reach out to them. So in my mind, I thought I was going to get mail or an OOA house guest or, you know, something like that. But that got me really excited, and I would rush home every day and I didn't see anything in my mailbox. But there's more to that story later.
Oh, there's much more to that story. The next day...
Oh my God, I love this part.
The next day, of course, other people had started to receive phone calls that they were going to be invited to the event Saturday. The more information was coming. So on the next day, I had my phone near me because I didn't know when that phone call was going to come. So all day long...
Hold on. I think we need to give a little backstory if it's the phone call I'm thinking of.
Yes, it is the phone call you're thinking of.
Okay. Oh, man, I love this part. Okay, anyway, so the backstory is that we posted the podcast on that Tuesday.
Well, Monday evening. Late Monday night.
Monday evening, but the call came on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yes. It's important to note when we posted the podcast.
So the podcast went up late Monday night, but Mike did not put any announcements or anything out until that Tuesday morning. So I'm at work, and of course, typical of when you're waiting for a phone call, my phone didn't ring all day. I stepped into a work meeting for 15 minutes, and I walked out of the meeting, checked my phone, and I had missed 3 calls in 15 minutes, all from unidentified numbers, which I knew would be them calling me. So I was disappointed, but I figured, okay, they'll call me back if they have information to give me. Later that day, at approximately 4 o'clock, it was a little before 4 o'clock, my phone rang. I was able to shut my office door, and I answered it. And the first thing I hear is my own voice speaking. Well, it took me one sentence to realize that they had taken my voice from the podcast, which had literally only been available for a matter of hours. And they had taken a snippet from the podcast, and they were playing it back to me. So immediately, I tried to register what it was, and they had taken the snippet of that podcast, which we had posted, where I had talked about an email that had been sent to me. In that portion of the podcast, I mention that the OOA had instructed me that there was something that they were affecting in my life that I couldn't identify yet. And I had said in the podcast that it was a little too vague to apply specifically to me. So, you know, that it was, you know, it was a nice touch, but that because it was so vague, I could read way too many things into it for to figure out what it meant. And so in this phone call, I'm listening to myself on the podcast, and then a voice breaks in, and the voice states to me, Russell, listen to your own words. Even as you speak, you are in denial. Someone you know is not who they say. You spill your secrets to them, we are then told. At the end of that, I spoke up and said, you know, do you want me to act on this information? Do you want me to do? And then I heard a little bit more of my voice, and then they hung up. So within hours, they had pulled an audio clip and called me with my own voice to make the point that I wasn't aware yet and I hadn't figured it out. And that I guess, hopefully, there's more information to come. But I will say, let me ask Mike.
Yes, that is the coolest freaking thing that has happened.
Actually, what I was going to ask you was because immediately what I did is I tried to jot down and write down immediately what had been said. And then I texted you and we talked not long afterwards. How did I sound?
What do you think? You were freaked out.
I thought I was. Yeah.
It was awesome because, you know, it's kind of like what you said, I think, two podcasts ago. It's like, paranoia doesn't affect me. And then the next podcast was like, okay, you got me. And then this podcast is like, oh my God, they used my own voice to talk to me.
They keep, and this is the individual thing for me, they keep pointing at me being slightly somehow unaware of something that is going on with a friendship. You know, and hey, look, I joked about it on the last podcast. You are a very close friend of mine, Mike. Jake, who is also participating in the Tension Experience Fun and Games. Jake is a good friend of mine. You know, Deb, you know, there's numerous people who are participating in this that, you know, if they're talking about that one of these friendships is being affected by them, I literally can't figure out who it is.
Well, I mean, that's the point. They want to keep you on edge.
I'm having a lot of fun with that because you've heard me do it. Like, wait a minute. Wait, did I tell you I did that last podcast where who did I say what to and when did I say it? And every time I catch myself in one of those loops, I chuckle because I just think it's so cool that they have actually got me thinking in circles.
And after your phone call, I actually got another phone call as well. This one was we were out recruiting. With Melissa. Melissa set up a little photo shoot for the Tension Experience with some of the apostles, and we went to LACMA, and it was really clever what she wanted to do because we're supposed to go towards, you know, enlightenment and go from dark to light, and we went to where all the lights were. And so she set this up, and while we were there setting up, I got a phone call, and it sounded similar to what you just described as your first phone call. I couldn't hear. I was outside. There was people, there were guys playing like with their yo-yos or whatever. And real yo-yos, that's not a metaphor. And it was just, I just couldn't hear. I heard something along the lines of downtown, and that's all I could really make out. And I was freaking out thinking I might've missed something because I kept hearing, do you understand? And I didn't want the call to end. So I just kept saying yes. Luckily, later on, an email came that said my time was confirmed at this time. So I believe that phone call was the time email, but I couldn't hear it. But I was free all day Saturday anyway, so I just went yes across the board. Yes, 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 okay. And then it hung up.
Right. And that's something that happened to me is I'd gotten a phone call driving home from work. I literally couldn't hear the phone call. It ended up ending, and I heard like the number 15, and that's all I heard. And again, the same thing, they had to confirm later with an email.
Yeah, and usually at this point, I would be, you know, making fun of you because it's your birthday and you can't hear and age and stuff like that. But the thing is, we weren't the only ones. There were lots of people who couldn't hear or they couldn't understand the message. So we got our phone calls, we got our invitations, we got our times. Finally, the day comes. Saturday happens, and every day leading up to it, everybody was just talking about it, figuring out what time, seeing if there was anything special to do with the times, looking way too into everything. A few of us figured, like, hey, let's all meet up for a drink or food beforehand and afterwards. So someone picked a place downtown LA. We found out it was about a mile away, so luckily we were pretty close. The first people got there around noonish or one-ish, I think, and You know, that was Susie, her husband Thomas, her brother came out, Debbie, Neil came later, Michael, Derek, and Sean came up from San Diego. He got an invite. And then randomly people started spilling in. I did, Russell did. So we were all just waiting there, waiting for our times, chatting, going through theories. And it was just really funny because one by one, once our time came, we would get up, walk away, and then we would all be like, oh, I wonder when he's going to come back or she's going to come back. And one by one, we all just started returning.
So as Michael said, we found out that the place where we were meeting was approximately 1 mile away. And because parking in downtown was so horrendously bad, which I also want to give a shout out to the OOA for one thing in particular left in my phone message. When I got the call giving me the address, this is very, very earthy male voice telling me, you know, like, Russell, this is where you're supposed to be. And there was a pause. And at the end of the phone call, the voice goes, and Russell, parking is a bitch. Take that into consideration.
It was so awesome.
And I literally burst out laughing, which, by the way, I do appreciate them pointing that out because my intention was to try to like leave at a normal time and go down there. And I would have probably been late for my start time if I had done that. But we found out that we were within walking distance. It was about a mile away from where we were hanging out eating. So the event itself, we've kind of chatted before about how to describe this. All the events seemed similar, but like we said, the OOA seems to be all about individual moments that speak to you. So inside this event, almost everyone that we've talked to had something slightly different, some of it very personalized, some of it not, but definitely unique to them. Basically, the way this event began is we walked to a street corner in downtown Los Angeles where we were told to wait and we would receive a phone call. The phone call would come. And to identify us, they would basically say, are you where you're supposed to be? You would answer yes. And they would say, raise your right hand.
Now, mind you, this is in downtown LA on a Saturday afternoon. It's not a random dead end street with nobody around. There are hundreds of people walking by you while you're there. So you're standing there. And I mean, I think that is actually part of something they're trying to do, you know, make you uncomfortable because you become the center of attention in the middle of one of the biggest cities in the world.
Yeah, and actually speaking to that, I know Michael, literally he raised his hand and someone turned around and went, what are you doing? Like, why do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I think Susie got high fives a couple times.
I thought that was hysterical. Apparently a couple people literally raised their hand and other people walking by would high five them. So you were standing there and so you were easy to identify because you were the only person with a hand up in the air. And a lovely young woman came and approached
Talia, you.
Talia, attendant two, which is the first time I had encountered her. I think any of us had encountered her. She would hug you and then walk you down the block. And she paused and said, well, we have some business to take care of. And there was a non-disclosure agreement and a waiver.
Which, by the way, that non-disclosure agreement was genius to me.
Oh,
because yes. Okay, for those that don't know what it is, a non-disclosure agreement or NDA, it's basically a form that you sign that you say you promise not to discuss any details of what you are about to encounter. It's basically a promise to not talk about it. But what this was, it was an NDA, but only until 9 o'clock that night, which in our guesstimation was when the last person went through. So you couldn't, because they know how rabid we are and how much we talk about things and on the forums and in Facebook and private and whatnot. So saying that you can talk about it, just wait until everyone goes through is what they basically said was awesome. Because I think all of us might have exploded if they said, don't talk about this ever to anybody. But the fact that there was a set time and it was just hours away, I mean, that was just, it was so smart and we respected it.
Yes, we did. Absolutely.
You know, like when we came back to the meeting place at that bar, we'd look at each other, look at our watches, like four more hours. And then the countdown began.
And also hats off to them. I mean, it was literally just them telling us like, hey, respect each other. No spoilers. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely an awesome touch. And then in addition to that, it was I wouldn't even say standard. It was a little bit more than your standard haunt type waiver form that you had to sign, which includes things like, you know, be aware that you're about to enter an event that may include darkness, variations in temperature, claustrophobic situations, light. There may be crawling, you know, that sort of thing. It just warns you that you've signed on to do something which might make you uncomfortable. And basically, you know, like, you don't have any medical conditions that one of these things would really harm you in any way. I signed it and I did read the full thing, and you know, I had some logistics things with Latoya because I had glasses on, and I told her, I said, I didn't want to wear them during the event if I didn't need them. And she said, well, can you see without them? And I said, well, I can't read fine print. And she said, then we won't ask you to read. So I took them off, and I was getting situated. And then this very cool moment came. Talia, when she first walked up to me and hugged me, I realized that she had like something draped over an arm, and she had the clipboard. And well, she took this very bright red material that was draped over her arm and handed it to me, and she said, put this on. And I opened it, and it's basically a cone-shaped hood. So I'm standing on this street in Los Angeles, and this woman is asking me to put this hood over my head so I can't see. During that conversation, she had asked, do you trust us? And I looked at her and said, you haven't given me a reason not to yet. So yes, I do. And she said, great. So when my time came to put that hood on, I absolutely put it on. And I will say about that hood, Mike, I don't know how you feel, but that was one claustrophobic hood. Like, that was an intense cone-shaped hood that really hugged your face. It was an intense feeling.
It's so funny to me because I was so excited to just get going and just doing it that I had a similar thing you mentioned your glasses. I had sunglasses on. And so when she asked me, like, do you trust us? I said the same thing you did, you know, great minds. And I just put the hood on, and she's like, you should take your sunglasses off first. And I was like, oh, okay. So I took the hood off and then put my sunglasses away and then put the hood back on. I was like, I think I was, might've been like even like jumping and like, okay, let's go, let's do this.
Wow. You had a bit of a dorky moment there.
Yeah.
I am so happy because usually I'm the dork when it comes to these things.
Oh no, don't worry. You still are.
Oh, great. Thank you. So you were led into this, you know, like building, and they led you, I assume it's a hallway. There was an elevator waiting. You went into the elevator. They took you down to the basement. Here is where things started to split off and get a little bit individualized, but you were left usually for a moment. Many of us experienced sudden, startling loud noises if things were being dropped or hit around us. And then we were led to one area, and we were kind of placed in a very specific spot and position. And we were informed that, you know, we would be taking the hood off at some point, but we were always to look forward, and that we were never to look away. We were constantly to look straight ahead. And as soon as they took the hood off, you realized why. You took the hood off, and you were standing in front of a full-length mirror. So this entire event, when you got to the core of it, you were staring at yourself. And that's key to what happened next. Some of us received a series of questions from a man. Some of us received a series of questions from a woman. However, the series of questions seemed to be fairly consistent from person to person. There were certainly a few things here and there that I think some people got, other people didn't. I think the very first question everyone got asked is, why are you here?
Here's another funny thing that it was funny to me. They asked me, and I don't remember when, but they asked me, do you like, look in the mirror, do you like what you see?
Yes, absolutely. I think everyone got that question as well.
And so this is what's funny, because I dressed up. I wore a suit,
yes,
because Ascension is no joke. Like, I'm all in for Ascension, and I feel like an Ascension should be something you should dress up for. So I dressed up, and I did my hair. I usually always wear a hat. And so when they asked me that question because of the hood, I said, yes, I like what I see, except for my hair, because the hood messed up my hair.
Okay.
I just hope the council understood why my hair was messed up, and that doesn't get into any way of my path.
Wow, I think we just got a glimpse into Mike's brain.
Sorry.
So, but yes, that began with questions like, do you like what you see? Are you a good person? Several of us got questions along the lines of, what have you done today to help someone? And what have you done today in response to my answering that question? They asked me, what have you done today to help society become a better place? So this line of questioning, really early on during this, we were all asked if we had our phones on us. Of course, all of us had to have our phones on us because we received a phone call to start this event.
They knew what they were doing.
So they asked us to take out our phone, and they basically asked you to trust them, and they said, would you give us your phone? And, of course, everyone pulls their phone out, and then they say, and please unlock it before you give it to us. So there was this moment of doubt, and so, because you have to, like, okay, well, you're about to hand your private stuff over to someone. But, you know, I thought about it for a second, and I, you know, unlocked my phone and handed it over. The series of questioning, you know, during this event, as you were looking at your mirror, the do you like what you see, you know, are you a good person? They kept repeating, are you a good person, in various forms. Now, after you had given over your phone, the line of questioning continued.
Yeah, they were asking things like, what was the worst thing you've ever done?
Do you have any regrets?
Who are your best friends? Is there anything on your phones that they wouldn't know about, or if would they be shocked if they knew it was on your phone? It was something along the lines of that. Some people got asked if they had any regrets, things like that.
Now, once they had your phone, that was when things got really odd, because they asked me who my best friend was. And that seems to have been a common theme, as people would get asked who their best friend was. And that became a follow-up series of questions of how well do they know you? Would there be anything on your phone that shocked them? They asked if you understood that you had a choice to turn your phone over to them, and they could very easily take all of the private information on that phone and use it any way they wanted. So it became sort of a question and answer series where they were stressing how your privacy had been compromised, perhaps, if they wanted to act on something in a malicious manner. And they were trying to plant that seed of doubt in you that you're not exactly sure what they were doing with your phone during that period of time. So it became a sort of a lesson in paranoia again, I think, of to what they were going to do. So, you know, when they asked me who my best friend was, I actually said, your name, Mike. And one of the things they followed up with was, well, how well does Mike know you? And I, you know, said, Mike knows me pretty well. And he said, well, does he know all your secrets? And, you know, does he know everything that you would have on your phone? Is there anything that would surprise him? And I said, you know, Mike knows about 85% of my secrets, I think.
And the next podcast, we will reveal the other 15%.
So then we can't do the, you know, like no explicit lyrics stamp on iTunes.
Oh, that's fine. I can do it by episode now.
So they, you know, they asked about, you know, what would surprise my friends if it were made public. And to be totally honest, this started making me a bit uncomfortable, which I think we should probably unpack a little bit later. But, you know, it's like I, at the very end, was very uncomfortable. And I acknowledged the OOA for noticing that I was uncomfortable and actually, you know, asking me a question about it. But what would happen is you would wrap up this series of questions. They asked you to put the hood back on, and you started to be led away. And as you were being led away, they would stick your phone in your hand. You know, you're still hooded and you have to go back through the hallway and up the elevator. Now, as you were doing this, Mike, I had a female voice, and I think you said you had a male voice.
Correct. I had a female asking me the questions. And now that I think about it, I think it might have been Gatekeeper 4.
Really?
Because just she was very feisty, I guess is the word.
Hey, that was the word I used to describe her online.
but she was, you know, kind of, she would say things like, oh, well, aren't you special? You know, things like that, with that kind of attitude, and saying it in those kind of, along those lines, and, you know, cut the BS, give me the real reason or real answer, things like that. And seeing her talk on Facebook and the forums, it's a very similar attitude. So I wonder. So if that was you, Gatekeeper 4, hello. I have nothing else to say. Nice to meet you, I guess, and talk to you in person. And when I was being let out, I was being let out by a man.
Oh, that's interesting, because I had the exact opposite. And I will say that the man asking me the questions at the beginning of the sequence of questions did have a little bit of that attitude of, I can't take you seriously. I don't believe your answer. Why are you really here? And they kept stressing that several times. So they had me really rethink that answer a couple of times. So some of the same attitude, but it sounds like the woman asking the questions had more attitude than the guy that questioned me.
Right. And so it seems like all of our experiences were very similar.
True.
Even though they were different. Like I said before, the core of it was very similar. Some of us got different questions asked. Some of us got had a man speak to them instead of a woman, and vice versa. And some of us got led to a corner and were given something.
Really?
Yes.
Do tell, Mike.
So after my questioning, I was taken and I had a man guide me, and I figured, oh, we're going somewhere else. And we got to one point, and he said to watch my step and to step up. There was a bump in the road. So I'm like, okay, so this is not the same way we came in. So we're going a different way. Okay, got it. Then all of a sudden we stop. He says something about my phone, gives it back to me, and then says something else about a gift. And I was like, whoa, okay, what's going on? And I didn't actually say that though, but that would have been funny. And the man said to hold out my hand. So I held out my hand. He placed something in my hand and he had me remove my hood. And then he told me to read what he had given me. So when I took off my hood, I was able to see it. There was a journal, a blank journal, and there was a handwritten letter inside. And because the letter says I can do what I will with it, I'm going to read it. And since the OA listens to this, I'm assuming they do because of Russell's phone call, I want you to hear this. That is a frame. I framed the letter that you've given me. So that's how much I appreciate this and how much I love it. So this is what the letter says. Michael, please take this token as a sign of our gratitude for everything you have done on your journey thus far. We are more than pleased with you, and your light shines brightest of all. Do with this token as you wish, but we would now ask that you continue to lead others in a very specific way. You have done an admirable job documenting the story thus far and would like to anoint you as our first official scribe in the Archive of Knowledge. Your voice will become gospel. If your summary of the experience in your own words pleases the oracles, it will be featured as a preface on our site to quickly bring those newly anointed into our fold and out of the dark. If you need to best express the message by using external links, multimedia, or other various tools, do so. You are thus chosen, and all our many eyes are upon you, watching and waiting. Do not let us down. Those who fall from our grace are met with severe and intense disappointment, and that's underlined. So no pressure at all. Thanks, OOA. As if that wasn't scary enough, now I have to worry about disappointing you guys. That's a lot to bear. So I was given that, and the man told me to put my hood back on, and then he led me away and led me outside, and that was the end of it. And he told me go directly to my car and then directly to my next destination.
But also, I think both of us, we got a little whispered message in our ear.
Yes. I believe we both got, we are not who you think we are, do not trust us, something along those lines.
Correct. I was very flummoxed at the end of this, which we'll get into a little bit later. But like, I was starting to be led away, and I somebody leaned in and said, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And I like could tell that they were asking me something. I said, I can't hear you. And I reached up and I started to lift the hood up just slightly. And she pulled my hand down and she said, don't do that. They're watching. They're watching every move. And basically she said, we are not who you think we are. Don't trust them. And then I think I was handed off to another person who I was given the instructions then that I had to go meet the next apostle who was coming into the event. And I got to stare them down, which was just awesome.
Oh, that's right. I didn't get that chance because I think it was funny because the apostle that met me was Melissa. And we had mentioned Melissa actually earlier in this podcast. She set up the photo shoot. And then in the last podcast about, you know, doing escape rooms with her. But I had no idea what was happening. So when she came to stare at me, I was just like, hey, what's up? you know, just me being me. And she was trying so hard to keep a straight face, and I wasn't trying to make her laugh. I just had no idea what to do. So I was like, hey, oh, okay, you're not talking to me now, you know, ha ha ha. And then I could see her face like just wanting to explode just because she couldn't hold it in any longer. And
oh,
then,
that's very funny.
And then she walked away.
Well, that's Michael was after me, and I walked out and he was on the phone. So he was receiving the phone call starting his event. And I saw him raise his left hand, which of course is the wrong hand. So he's raising his left hand. And as we mentioned earlier, this woman next to him, I heard her literally from half a block away. She had this bright, brassy voice. I'm like, what are you doing? Why do you have your hand up? And so she's questioning him. And I heard him say, like, someone's supposed to meet me and I don't know who they are. So I'm just raising my hand so they know that I'm the person they need to meet. So right when he says that, I step so into his personal space and stare him right in the eye. And the woman is literally probably less than 2 feet away from us. And she just bursts out laughing because I'm looking at him, staring at him directly in the eye. And I'm not saying a word. I am trying to be as intense as possible. And I was told to count backwards from 10. So I start, like, I'm nodding my head and I realize that I'm mouthing the numbers with my mouth. And so Michael hears me sort of like, two. And then so later in the day he went, you gave me the numbers 5 and 2. What does that mean? I was like, I was just counting backwards. He completely misread that. So then I walked away and Talia came and got him. But yeah, so that was the ending for me, which you didn't quite have that same ending, I know. But that was a lot of fun actually messing with Michael. And he was so embarrassed when I told him later that he had his left hand up.
But going back to the ending and talking about the we are not who you think, that line, that's causing so much debate in the forums and things
is.
Like that. Because are there double agents working for the OOA and they're trying to warn us? Or did somehow the event get hacked by Sentinel and it was a Sentinel event telling us that it wasn't?
Yeah, and this goes, like, I think, back to the hack of the website. You know, this is all part of a bigger story. And that one little snippet of information, for that event to end with that, was such a stroke of fun genius to me. Because I will say that I loved this event for numerous reasons. I had such an interesting, fun time at this event. The whole sequence in front of the mirror where they were asking you questions and trying to really make you evaluate certain aspects of your life, I absolutely found it fascinating. And I truly, truly enjoyed the weird haunt-like beginning, which we haven't talked about the individual issue that I got at the beginning, which we haven't found anyone else who quite had a moment that I did. But this whole event, from the hood on the street to being led through the dark hallways, the smell of incense that you got at one point, the visual of you in this basement, which is stone, barren walls and floor, like the whole vibe of it. And we were informed that we were being watched, that there was a panel of people watching us, and we had to speak up and answer honestly and clearly. This whole thing, like the whole structure of it and the whole presentation, it was thrilling to me. I really had a blast with this, Mike. I really did.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. Everything about it. I mean, it was a cross between haunt. It was a cross between immersive theater. It was so many different elements of things we enjoy all put together into one. And it was incredible.
We said that, you know, you got the gift. Some of us got individualized questions. I had a moment, which when we got back to the restaurant afterwards and met up with people, nobody else seemed to have quite the moment I did right at the very beginning when you got to the bottom, to the basement floor after the elevator. I walked out and they gave me this really odd sort of mini haunt moment, which was one of the highlights. It was so awesome. And basically, like I mentioned, you came out of darkness and you were placed in a position, then suddenly there were loud noises around you, which startled me repeatedly. And I was left there for, I have no idea how long. But suddenly, I realized that there was someone standing directly behind me, and they pushed themselves up against me. And they all I can say is they sort of pushed their nose into the back of my neck, very aggressively, almost messing with my balance. And they started to sort of growl and sniff, then started to breathe really heavily right into my ear. So me being the haunt guy that I am, I didn't know how to respond. So I sort of synchronized my breathing with this guy who was right behind me. And what he did is he reached down, he wrapped his arms around me. And as I synchronized my breathing, what he did is every time I exhaled, he tightened his grip. And every time I exhaled, he squeezed the air out of me more and more until he basically was trying to crush me as hard as he could. And, you know, the haunt person in me was like, I don't know who's behind this. I don't know. Trust. Okay, I'm going with this. And it was really incredibly intense. And it was just so intimidating. And then he let me go, and I kind of regained my breath. And he came up to the right side of me and sort of again pushed his face very up close to mine. And then his hand came up to around my neck. And his hands just encircled my neck and didn't choke me very much, but he just let me know that he was in control. And then suddenly and very violently, I was moved to the position in front of the mirror, and that sequence began. So this will come into play a little bit later with another discussion we have. They made it clear to me in a follow-up conversation after this event that they are very aware of my haunt activities of the past. And they have indicated that might come into play. At least I think that's what they're hinting at. So I don't know what that means, but I firmly believe that the reason that was given to me is because of the haunt stuff that I've done in the past. And look, you know that, you know, I've written reviews for My Haunt Life. I've been on panels at horror conventions. So they're telling me, they're indicating to me that's somehow going to be a factor in all of this for me. That seems to be part of my individual path, which excites the hell out of me, to be totally honest.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I don't know who they are. It feels so weird. Like, it becomes a trust thing for me.
One of the things I wanted to ask you in a joking way is, you never mentioned, but if anybody did this, it would have been you. Did you ask if there was a safe word?
You're not joking.
I it's a joking question, but it's a legit question, because you are a stickler for safety and for things like this, especially going into something where you do not know anything about it.
Yes, I am. And yeah, and there's very particular reasons for that. But no, I did not ask.
You're growing up. Aww.
And you are leading me.
Well, it's part of my path.
Yes, it is. No, I didn't. But also, it's odd. Even though that was a very intense physical interaction of someone trying to crush the air out of me. Wow, this is going to sound odd, but it somehow felt safe at the same time. The person who did it knew what they were doing. I was able to do that. I was able to, like, okay, you know what? I'm going to play this, you know, for what it is. And, you know, it was fine. It was fine. And truly, wow. Just like the whole hood on the street to the elevator to that sequence ending to the mirror and the like it fired on many, many cylinders for me personally. It was awesome. I loved it.
One of the things that caught us by surprise after we actually went through is when we got our phones back, it was like a domino effect. One person realized it, and then we all just realized it. We went into our pictures, and most of us saw pictures of ourselves standing in front of the mirror with the red hood on. So when they took our phones, they also took our pictures, and we had pictures of ourselves on our phones in front of the mirror wearing the red hood.
And a couple of us had pictures of various other locations within that location. Like, I had a picture of a pole and a wall. And I scoured that thing looking for some freaking clue.
Yeah, I did too. I had one. It looked like a wall, or I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, I found a piece of dirt on the wall. I was like, there's got to be something written in that.
So we're all done with the event. Now we're just waiting for the 9 o'clock time to roll around. We're all back at the bar, just sitting and trying to theorize and things like that. And at one point, I think it was around 8 o'clock, we started talking about the pre-event. And what I mean is, I think some people started talking about, oh, on the street corner, I did this, or I saw this person or that. We didn't talk about the event itself, but at that point, something happened. It didn't happen to Russell or I. It happened to our friend Sean. And this is such a cool thing that I'm going to let Sean tell it. And he's in San Diego right now, so we're going to call him. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Sean, it's Mike and Russell.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Hey, so we're recording the podcast, and this story is so cool. Any way we tried to describe it, it would be ruined. So we wanted to get it from Sean himself. So, Sean, by all means, tell your story.
Thank you very much for that. So the actual event itself was very much like what a lot of other people got, but there was a somewhat heavy emphasis on don't talk about this until 9 p.m. You know, don't say anything about anyone. Don't say anything about any of this. Don't do it. We'll know. And, you know, I signed everything. I did everything that they asked. Walked back to the bar immediately afterwards where some people were gathering to wait for the event before it happened and just sort of decompress afterwards. Not to talk about the event at all, but just to kind of hang out. We were hanging out there for maybe an hour, 2 hours or so. And then the bartender comes out to the patio where we're at and comes up to me and asks me, hey, are you Sean? I have this phone here. Someone called the bar phone asking for you specifically, saying that they need to speak to you and that your phone's dead. And before I answer, I look at my phone real quick, and my phone is definitely not dead. They're just calling the bar to reach me that way. So I pick up the phone, and it's the same voice that had been in contact with me for the actual event itself, telling me where to be and when to be, very ominously warning me that, remember the promise that you made to us, don't say anything, we'll know, we're watching. There are people at the bar who are some of us. That's where the theory that we had come with, that we were on the patio essentially by ourselves with the exception of one person who was just watching a sports game or, you know, having a beer. And shortly after I got the call, that guy stands up, kind of looks at us ominously, and then leaves. Presumably, maybe that guy was a plant, but that was just paranoia at that point. But I definitely felt watched for the rest of the night.
Awesome. Thank you. And did they say something like, what did they say anything about the group was OOA or just someone at the bar?
They said someone there. Now, I'm not 100% sure about the exact verbiage used. I don't know if they said group or there. But they implied that someone was physically in the room with us. That was one of them.
Okay, cool. Is there anything else that you want to say about your experience that stands out to you?
This is the first time I've done anything like this, so really it all stood out to me. But the way that they had, that they got us to just feel straight paranoid about the entire day really was kind of a cool thing to experience.
Awesome. So yeah, so that was Sean, and he's on the forums as The Gilded, and he is one of the most active people on the forums. He will help you. If you have questions about a puzzle, like he'll help you. I mean, he'll probably be the first to reply anyway. But I'm really glad that he was able to get an invite because he lives in San Diego, and there was a lot of people worrying that if they lived outside of LA, they wouldn't get an invite. So I'm really happy that he was there and we all finally met.
Yeah, it was great to meet him in person. I talked to him online numerous times. It was really, really nice to get together and meet with him.
So that was one phone call. There seemed to be a trend of phone calls that night, right, Russell?
Yes, there was. We were sitting at the bar. We've already explained that there was a non-disclosure agreement that stated we could not discuss the event in any way until 9 p.m. So it was around 8:45. We were sitting in the bar. We were getting excited because we were almost going to be able to talk about it. And I look down and my phone rings, and it is an unidentified number, which probably means it's the OOA. And I immediately pick up my phone and I ran out of the bar. And because I couldn't hear in the bar because it was loud and raucous, it was a bar restaurant situation. So I ran out of the parking lot and I'm fumbling with my keys, right? And I'm trying to let the phone ring as long as possible. And I'm at my car and I finally answer it because I don't want it to go to voicemail. And I hear my name, Russell. And I said, yes. And I heard something and I wasn't sure exactly what it was. So I got into my car really quickly and I got the phone call inside my car. And this voice said to me, Russell, are you questioning your involvement with us? I had to pause and I said, look, you have made me question it. Yes, you have made me question my involvement. And they asked me, are you ready to continue on your path? And I paused and I said, yes. And this voice responded, good. We have many glorious plans for you. And they hung up. Now,
there sounds like there might be a backstory to this.
There is, and here's the situation. I'm gonna have to unpack something non-tension related. And I said earlier on in my description that I was a little bit uncomfortable at the end of the event. And the man asking me questions sensed that I was uncomfortable. It was clear and was right at the very end of the questions. And he said, do you want to say something? I said, yeah, I do. And he said, go ahead and speak. And I said, look, like, I love this. This was a great meeting. I don't even remember exactly what I said, but I said something along those lines of, like, I appreciate everything that has been done. I appreciate what you've done with me. But I need you to know that I am extremely uncomfortable now. Like, you have made me uncomfortable. This conversation has made me uncomfortable. Now, I realized when I got outside that I was so flustered by everything that I didn't express myself well in that moment to the OOA, because the conversation was about privacy. Like, what have we compromised by giving up our phone? They could have downloaded all information. That was not my issue. My issue in that moment was, near the end, they started questioning me about what my regrets were, about what I had compromised for other people, like what my friends knew. And it became this very odd, I sensed a betrayal, because they asked me to perform an act of trust. They asked it of all of us. That giving your phone was a choice that we made to trust them. And right after I did it, the first questions were like, you do realize you just, like, made that choice? Yes. Like, now you realize that we could take all the information. Like, you've unlocked our phone. We could do anything with your phone, and we could download the information in less than 2 minutes. And I went, yeah. They said, you do realize that, you know, like, we could make things public. I said, yeah, because it didn't make sense to me that they were trying to, like, play this safety paranoid privacy thing when they had asked me to perform an act of trust. And I performed that act of trust. And then when they started to talk about all the ramifications of that, in my own head, I worried about betraying my friends. It was not my privacy that I was really concerned about. It was everything else. So it started to feel disrespectful and a betrayal and a bit insulting to me. That is how I interpreted it, because they asked me to perform this act of trust. I performed it, and now I'm being criticized for it. That's what made me uncomfortable. And I realized when I got out of the event that I probably had not expressed that correctly. So at 8:45, I got this phone call that said, are you questioning your involvement with us? And I said, you made me do that. And then when I said, yes, I'm willing to continue on my path, they said they have plans for me. That's awesome. The next morning, I sent a clarification to the OOA. I sent an email that said, look, this is the issue. It's like, it wasn't about privacy. It was about trust. So in that email, I was actually able to explain to the OOA in more detail, you know, what exactly made me uncomfortable, and that I felt like I had failed in communicating that clearly. So, you know, I offered an apology if I had offended them in any way, and they wrote me back. And I think this is the key thing here, is that feeling of betrayal. I've had a couple of really negative issues with haunts in the past year and a half or so. In particular, I went into a haunt which I walked away injured very badly from. And one of the reasons that happened was because the haunt had asked me to trust them 100%, and I did. And then I entered a show where it was staffed very poorly, there were untrained people working it, and I walked away with injuries. And ever since then, I have been very, very cautious about giving my trust over to anyone. It's something that, you know, like, I've had to deal with a couple of times involving haunts. I'm very, very cautious in a haunt situation And for this event to have that little mini haunt section I described earlier, which was so incredibly awesome, and it worked for me, and it was absolutely great. So at the very end of this, when I started to get that vibe of, oh, wait, like, you trust us, we're going to hurt you now. And I don't mean physically, I meant on an emotional, psychological level. It really did hit me very, very hard. But I want to acknowledge, in response to my email, the OOA sent me a response that was so clear, so cool. I absolutely have such respect for them, because they acknowledged that they got, that they sort of understood the clarification that I offered. And I want to share part of that email with you. Some of it's a little private, so I don't know how much we'll go into, but at the beginning of it, they said, look, the elders have convened on each and every experience, and they have found your particular honest and emotional reaction refreshing. Hopefully this tension experience has helped you see the compromised reality of your present world. The elders wish to remind you that there are no wrong steps on your journey as long as they continue to move you forward. And absolutely, that is what I got out of that event on Saturday. It like, I do realize how vulnerable I am privacy-wise. I do realize they use the phrase compromised reality. Absolutely. That's what I walked away with. But the weird trust thing reared its head, and that is something in my past. That is, if you want to use the trendy new agey term, that is a trigger for me, if you want to go there. And I don't say any of this lightly, and here's the weird situation I'm in. I don't really talk about this because, you know, it was an event which affected me deeply, but I also, I stand by my haunt resume as a patron, Mike. You know that I'm kind of a tough guy when it comes to stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I like to explore dark stuff, but for me, it is about the emotional side more than any kind of a physical challenge or anything like that. And that's why I loved this tension experience event, because it was so emotional. Even the haunt-like aspect of it, the guy trying to like sort of crush me or whatever, like there was an emotional angle to that, which was really, really cool. And I'm just worried about ever saying things like this, because I don't want people to think I'm some delicate flower, because I'm not.
So basically what you're saying is don't go easy on you ever.
Wait, no.
Any haunt that's listening, especially the tension experience, you heard it. Don't go easy on him because he's not a delicate flower.
God, you take something and you just ruin it.
You said it.
No. That's not what I did.
You're not a delicate flower.
Okay, I'm not a delicate flower.
See?
So, but all right. But I just wanted to put that out there that it was about trust. You know, I hopefully that came across. Now, the rest of the email, they make a reference very specifically to my haunt past, and that one of the reasons I was chosen to participate in the event on Saturday, apparently, is because I have presented myself to the public, as someone who has gone to some really harsh haunt situations, immersive theater pieces to explore, and they just let me know that that's one of the reasons they're interested in me. So in the end of the email, they do say that, you know, we hope that you continue to hold fast in your very real journey with us. And they indicate that there might be a rocky road for some of us along the way in that journey. It's a bit ominous, but it also, you know, acknowledges the clarification that I made, because that is a very real thing that I deal with. And, I completely respect them for respecting me, because inside the event, I think I misinterpreted something. And the fact that they cleaned that up for me was really very, very big of them. And I appreciate it beyond belief, because it's a better relationship with a patron than I've experienced with some other events in the past. And we joke on this podcast about Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, two S's, two L's. So I laughed out loud when I got this email, because in the greeting, my name is spelled correctly, and in the body of the email, it's spelled incorrectly.
That's so great.
So even that, the fact that we have joked about this on the podcast, and the fact that in this email from the OOA, they used the two different spellings of my name, I do not know if that was deliberate on their part, but
holy crap, it made me laugh. I smiled for an hour after I read that.
You realize that this is somehow going to come back to haunt you,
oh,
right?
Hell, they are going to misspell my name every time now.
They're going to start calling you, like, Patrice or something. Or, I don't know.
So, but anyway, I just really wanted to clarify that because they handled that situation so well. And the fact that they did call me at 8:45 p.m., you know, with that phone call, like, you know, are you questioning? Like, okay, great. You're like, you're still on the path. We got plans. And they hung up. And so then...
And then a few minutes later, I started getting a call from an unknown number, and I did the same thing. We were on the patio. It was a Saturday night. It was getting crowded. Ran out to the parking lot so I could try to hear it. And it was a voice. And I like to call this voice the wizard voice because he sounds like a wizard, or he could be a wizard. And he was the same voice in the MP3 we played last week where he said, "You crucified one of your own." It was that voice. So if you go back and listen to that, you can kind of see where I'm coming from. Like, I picture this guy with a long gray beard. And and I mean, the hoods that they gave us were kind of shaped like a Merlin hat. So,
yeah, they were.
I mean, it could be. But my message was basically making sure that I got my gift and I was ready to continue on my path. And with an astounding hell yes, that was the phone call. So
now, as you were getting the phone call, I stepped away because I wanted to sort of like jot down a note to myself that of what exactly was said in my phone call. Did anyone else at the bar get a phone call at that point?
After us? I don't believe so.
Okay.
So that was our event it was a long day, but it was such a fun day and it was so worth it. And we all got to hang out with everyone else and got to meet some new people and we got to go to this cool OOA event and it was great. And after it was done and I had time to process it, it just made me think about the actual event. And I mean, the metaphor of look at yourself. I mean, it came true because they forced you to look into a mirror, but you know, just looking at yourself and reflecting on what you were asked, it really hits home. And I think some people took it a little bit differently. And it goes into another thing I was thinking about is there's so many different types of life going into the tension experience. So you have Russell and I who are super into haunts and extreme haunts, and you have people like Sean and who are just into ARGs and they're not even really into horror. And you know, like there's it's like a cross section of everybody, and everybody deals with things differently. And I know some people got upset based on some of the questions because they looked at themselves and either didn't like what they saw or overthought something or something like that. Other people just didn't take it seriously and like, really, this is it. And some people took it too seriously, and other people, you know, it was just an interesting to hear all the different stories from all the different types of life that are going through this.
Yeah, even among us at the bar, I think we all had a great time, but the interpretation of the questions was different among all of us, certainly.
And another thing that I realized is never question the OOA. The reason I say that is because when the invites were going out, there were people on the forums who were very active, and they kept saying how they didn't get an invite, and they were in LA or around LA. And one of those people is Addison. I felt for you, man, because you are active, and I was bummed that you didn't get to take part. But he got an email later that night basically saying, I forget exactly what he said it said, but it was something along the lines of, "We notice your frustration. Don't worry. We didn't invite all the top people." It was something along those lines. Like, we didn't invite the, I don't know.
Nerdiest.
Something. Yeah. Or the most active or something like that. So the fact that they reached out to him and told him that, you know, it gives him hope. It gives me hope that he gets to do something cool, you know, and it's just really cool because there's other haunts and other events where they could care less. It's like, oh, we invited this many people. You weren't a part of it. Too bad. Sorry. You know, that's it. They don't reach out to them and say like,
right,
hey, we understand. Don't worry. You know, it's cool. It's those little pieces of acknowledgement that make me want to do it even more, even though it wasn't directed at me, because they give a crap about people, it seems. You know what I mean? Like, it's a breath of fresh air. You know, it seems that they want everybody to be included. There's just not enough room. And if there's not enough room now, there's probably going to be room for you later on. even Megan from Minnesota got a message saying, don't give up, stay active on the forums, your time will come. So they are definitely reaching out to people who don't live in California.
They're obviously responsive, which is a breath of fresh air. It's like, and certainly appreciated by those of us who are talking about it.
So the next big thing that happened is, if you remember in the last podcast, we mentioned Gatekeeper 5 in his farewell letter and said that Gatekeeper 4 would be coming soon. Well, after the event on Saturday, Gatekeeper 4 arrived, and man, she is
feisty.
Amazing. I think I've counted so far about 6 people that have said they have crushes on her already, just from the way she's talking. She showed up on the forums first, then she showed up on Facebook, and she's calling it like it is, like calling people out and basically making people feel stupid, and it's incredible. And it's just fun. It's a fun person, and it's a good attitude, because we went from Gatekeeper 5, who was very serious and you know, getting on with his path, and we understand that. He spoke somewhat cryptically, and then Gatekeeper 4 comes in and just swinging a sledgehammer around, like, wah!
Yeah, and I admit, when I first started reading the messages from her, I didn't get it. I because I think I was so used to the previous Gatekeeper that was so serious, and then this complete change of tone really threw me. And then the more I read, I'm like, oh, wait, like, there's humor here, and this is actually funny. But it took me a couple of posts to get that, to be totally honest.
Yeah, so she's here, and she's a force to be reckoned with. My advice, don't be stupid and ask stupid questions, or you are going to get your ass handed to you by her.
And I must say, you know, she did send me a birthday message. Yes. On Facebook.
So go to Tension's Facebook. It's on Facebook, The Tension Experience. And somehow they got a hold of one of Russell's pictures from a few years ago.
Yeah, and I think this proves the depth to which Tension Experience is digging into people's profiles on social media. It's a photo that was posted in 2012 that she pulled up and doctored a little bit to wish me a happy birthday, and I sincerely appreciate it. I got such a big grin on my face when I saw that. Really, really funny.
The next big thing of interest after that was a Tension email went out, and I feel like this was more of a Tension starter kit email in a way. If you were new to the Tension Experience and you really weren't sure what to do or where to go, there was about 4 to 5 articles in this email, and each of them has a different path. The first one was an article I had written, the first official one as Scribe One, and and it was basically a where do I begin, and it's an FAQ. It's like, okay, do this, go to the forum, sign up, add them on social media, that kind of thing. That was the first article, and thank you so much, Tension Experience, which, by the way, okay, in the email, each link is an image. So in the image of mine, it's the title of the article, but also there are 2 photos, and one of the photos was me waiting on the street corner from the event on Saturday. The funny thing about that is our friend of ours, Dayla, took that picture because she had seen me and it's like, oh, there's Mike. And so she's just documenting it. The actual picture is of a hand holding a phone, and that's what the picture is. So when they got her phone, we think that they took the picture of me because they saw it in her phone, because I might have been one of the last pictures that was taken. So I thought that was really interesting. Then right next to it, on the left-hand side, there's a picture of me when I was reading the letter. So whoever the man was that told me to read it, he took a picture of that as well. So those are two cool Easter eggs that at first I didn't really notice. Like, I noticed my picture on the street corner. I was like, oh, they took my picture. But then the backstory happened, and then I looked closer and I saw the picture reading the letter, and it was like, that's so cool. The next link was a link to the forums, and if you look close in that, you see a conversation Sean was having in the forums. So there's a screenshot of what he said. The third is an introduction from Blumhouse.com. The next is an overview by Horror Buzz. And the last link there was a testimony by iHorror. They're all just kind of like a good representation across the board. When you put them together, they form the ultimate Tension Experience informational article, I guess you could say.
It's actually a really good place to start. There are a couple of those articles that are very, I don't want to say basic because there's more to them than that, but they're good introductions as to the vibe and the feel of what's going on, not just information. So definitely worth checking those links out in the email.
Most recently, this past Friday, another video happened. And this one was much like the others, except it wasn't as cryptic. This one was more of a, hey, these are what people are saying about the tension experience. And they had all the websites that I just mentioned, but they also had flashes of words on each of them. And I started thinking about it, and I'm wondering if these are messages to people that are relating to the website. For example, on Bloody Disgusting, they say to realize your true self. So on the We Are Indie Horror article, it says, we do not cater to the weak. There's a bit of a backstory with that because Neil has gotten called out by the OOA quite a few times, and he's been told to do specific tasks to get back in their good graces and things along those lines. So it's funny that that quote ended up on the We Are Indie Horror article. The iHorror article has Enlightenment Awaits You. The Dread Central article has Silence is Complacency and We Are What Fear aspires to Be. Live Escape Room Reviews, Only True Knowledge Can Save You. And in My Haunt Life, Ascension is Near. So once again, so we had my image in the other video saying talking about Ascension, and then this one has a message about Ascension is Near. So does that mean Russell and I are going to be ascended soon?
Well, you've only got confirmation. They've never mentioned Ascension with me.
Oh, well, we're a team, man.
Well, isn't that also where the Siamese skulls appear?
Oh, yeah.
In that video, when My Haunt Life is mentioned, there's this image of, it looks like an x-ray of conjoined skulls.
Is that Russell and I? Because we are always together and doing the same things, and probably.
It's quite possible.
Nothing is random with the tension experience. So.
Yeah, and I sent you a message probably like if we were really joined at the skulls, metaphorically or physically, you'd understand me better.
I don't want to. And then there was a second part to the video. That was in like maybe the first 30 seconds. And then the second 30 seconds, they go through all the websites again and flash other words. So there are things like on We Are Indie Horror, it says, glory be, your fear is deceiving you. So is that a message to Neil? On My Haunt Life, we got Gatekeeper 4 has arrived. You know, maybe that was a warning to Russell that she was going to wish him a happy birthday with a picture. But we don't know. But the interesting one, and we didn't mention this one before because it only showed up towards the end, but there's a Blumhouse.com article, and the words on that one are, what was once dark shall soon be light. There is, you are the lie, glory be. Now, this is really interesting to me because we had mentioned in the last video that Andrew's face had an X through it. The article on Blumhouse was about Andrew and it says, you are the lie. So Andrew, what's going on, man? Are they saying that you are a lie?
Are you the one that they keep telling us is not who they appear to be?
Yeah. What's going on with that, man? So I just thought that was a interesting thing. And, you know, maybe we're looking too into it like we usually do, but I think there's a common thread among these websites and these messages.
And I immediately go to, but Andrew's such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. But if he's involved, maybe he doesn't know.
Oh, which is interesting because they've made that reference to me about I don't know. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something to think about.
Wow. I just went inner nerd all over the place there.
Yeah. And that was the last thing that happened until now. So we're recording this on Sunday, and literally while we're recording this podcast, they actually posted on their Facebook that there will be two more events in May and will you get called? So there's going to be two more things happening. And my only advice to you is to be seen and be heard, be active, put in everything you can. If you want to be involved, go on the forums, retweet things, repost things on Facebook, do everything you can. And that is the only advice I can really give you. That seems what they're attracted to. So do your best and do your thing, and hopefully you can get a phone call. And just to be on the safe side, because they mentioned two new events were coming, we wanted to make sure that we weren't spoiling anything. In this podcast, we talked about everything that happened in the event we went to. And we would hate for people to listen to this and get invited to a new event and know what's coming and have it ruined. So just to be on the safe side, we messaged them and asked if it was okay to post the podcast or if they wanted us to edit anything out. And they wrote this message back. Nothing is ever the same. It only gets worse from here. That is so exciting and so frightening at the same time. All of these meetups that we've done, we went to Venice Beach the other weekend to hang up flyers, and the post meetup image from Saturday ended up in this video, and it ended up on their Facebook as well. And they always put community when they repost the picture. They've posted probably every picture that of an event that we've done or a meetup that we have been to. And I don't think enough people are picking up on that. They're reposting pictures of people gathering together with, and they're always captioning it with community. They want a community to be formed. So I would suggest get your friends together, have a tension meetup day, and just to talk about it, nerd out, take a picture, because I think that's what they're getting at. And not enough people are doing that. Even if you don't live here, get some friends together and, hang a logo up somewhere and like, hey, attention, look at us. We're doing this too. Community. We're building a community together. I think that's the key here. So pay attention to things they post because nothing is random. And that's one of the things I've learned.
Yeah, the community thing I think is key because we haven't really done any of this with a specific agenda. It's just, wow, isn't this really interesting, fun, cool thing going on? You want to get together, hang out, and talk about it a little bit? So it really is. Community is the key word there, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of community, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Kristen from the El Paso Horror Society. Their latest podcast is awesome. It's so funny because there are some people that get a little creeped out too easily. And they recorded their first experience with the tension experience, going to the website, seeing all the clues and the puzzles and hearing the music. And it's awesome. It's so funny. So go after you finish this podcast, go listen to theirs. And it's great. So thank you guys and keep up the good work. And you can find them on Facebook at El Paso Horror Society or on Twitter or Instagram, EP Horror Society. And on iTunes, El Paso Horror Society. That about does it for this podcast's update on the tension experience. Once again, highly recommend going and checking it out. You can go visit them on the web at thetensionexperience.com, on Facebook, The Tension Experience, on Instagram, the_tension_experience, or on Twitter, the_tension_exp.
Believe it or not, we've actually done other things too. Recently, Mike and I attended the latest version of Urban Death at Zombie Joe's Underground Theater in North Hollywood, California. We've mentioned Urban Death before. We've mentioned Zombie Joe's before. Urban Death is a show which they bring back. Now it almost seems like every 6 months there's a new version of it. Highly acclaimed, critically praised show. Usually it's a series of horror-oriented vignettes strung together into about an hour-long show that will really mess with your head and disturb all of your senses. It was awesome. It was really interesting for me because I've attended so many Urban Deaths now. I find them always fascinating and always evolving. And Mike, I don't know how you feel about this particular one, but this one I felt was more heavy emotional content. Very specific, timely cultural references, which is not something that is common with Urban Death. There was a political reference. There was sort of a commentary on the election, and then there was also later in the show sort of a commentary, what to me I read as about the homeless situation, which if you live in the Los Angeles area in particular, you are aware of. That kind of thing is fairly new to the Urban Death that I am familiar with. And I absolutely love it. It was highly disturbing. Now, Mike and I don't want to give any specific spoilers, but I would like to point to a couple of things in particular. Mike, I don't know if you had any favorite sketches or any favorite images that came out of this show, but for me, and again, this I don't want to spoil it, but there's an image in the middle of the show of one lone person.
Yep.
Just emotionally devastated and... they're holding a weapon and literally the actor just, it was devastating to watch. So So it was, and I'm sorry, I don't want to spoil it too much, but because you, if you're living in our area, you can definitely get to Zombie Joe's new version of Urban Death before the end of the month. And also, there's another sketch involving, let's just say, a video camera and a shotgun that truly is disturbing. And it's disturbing because it hits you on an emotional level. This is dark material, but it's also really timely, really social commentary type material explored through horror and really, really dark comedy. Like, highly recommend Zombie Joe's Urban Death. Did you want to point to any specific scenes or anything, Mike, that you thought stood out for you?
No, because that would spoil it. But one thing I did want to say, it's true. One thing I did want to say is, We mentioned Blood Alley in the last podcast, and going into this, I was worried that Blood Alley might have taken some of the impact away from Urban Death. So going into it, I was worried, you know, because they're two good shows, and I was worried that they might be too similar, or one might take more of the other, or vice versa. And I was so glad that it wasn't like that at all. Blood Alley is definitely its own entity, and Urban Death is exactly what I always hope and think and know it will be. It was creepy. It messes with you. There was one scene that I can't talk about, but it's basically noises that had the lady in front of me freaking out, and it was awesome. And, you know, just so much can be done in that space, and it's definitely a must see. And like Russell said, they do it a couple times a year, and they're new each time. They are going to be at Midsummer Scream with another show, and I can't wait to see that. But there was a lot of good skits, and or not skits, but a lot of good scenes in this one. Definitely creepy, definitely plays on you emotionally. And it's funny that you mentioned the shotgun and film one being an emotional one, because that was not emotional. I was just waiting to see which way they were going to go with it, because that could have gone in so many different ways. And
it was truly disturbing for me.
It was awesome. That was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, it is awesome, but in a very disturbing way. And also the scene that you pointed to, actually, I don't want to comment on what it is, but I will say this about Urban Death. That scene in particular is the personification of what I think I like most about Urban Death. Is you walk away from these shows. These shows really make you question what might be lurking in the dark, mm-hmm. and what might be lurking around the next corner in your life. It really doesn't pull any punches, and it makes you think about the consequences of your own actions, and it makes you think about what might be going on with people around you every day. So, if that intrigues you, and you'd like to get tickets to Zombie Joe's Urban Death, it runs through the month of May. You can go to zombiejoes.com. That's Zombie Joe's, all one word. On Facebook, do a search for Zombie Joe's Underground Theater Group at ZJU Theater. That gets you to their main Facebook page. Also, Twitter, at Zombie Joe's, and Instagram, Zombie Joe's. Both of those, all one word. Seriously, check them out. They are well worth a visit.
And then today, we just got back from doing another escape room. This time we did the Krampus Room at Countdown Live Escape Games.
That's located in downtown Los Angeles, and they have a couple of different rooms. They have a spaceship room, a tiki room, and we chose to do, since it's my birthday, we went with a Christmas theme. We chose to do the Krampus Room. It's one that we have heard other people reference as being fun, and we did have a good time. It's a very immersive environment here. And the thing that surprised me, Mike, when we started working on this room, holy crap, this is a dark escape room.
Yeah. And before we say anything else, I just want to say that we did not escape. I think everyone should know that.
Yeah, we ran into a couple of very, very confusing puzzles. And this is a room that definitely has red herrings.
Yeah.
And a couple of them got us.
And this room used to be the Psycho Room when it was called Captivate?
Yes, it was.
So I guess the new owner came in and changed some things, and he turned that room into the Krampus Room. We did the Psycho Room last year, and everything the layout and everything like that is exactly the same, including some things on the wall. So when you go into this room and you see that the layout is the same, the puzzles are different, and the designs are different, but it still felt the same, if that makes sense. It's like going to read a book and then you get a different book, but it has the same exact cover. If that, you know, like it was something like that. Like it didn't take away from it as much as I'm making it sound, but it did have some sort of impact on me where I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, it's cool. But, oh, I remember this. This is where the serial killer's brain was, or, you know, something like that. And, you know, don't get me wrong. It's a good escape game. Like I liked it and I had fun. But that was my gripe, and that's only because we had done the Psycho Room earlier.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't affect someone who's going into this new. I will say that the only way that that affected me was at one point we hadn't solved something, and I realized that, like, oh, wait. Like, obviously this is following the same pattern and layout as the previous time we were here with a different theme. Oh, wait, we still have to do that over there. You know, there was one corner that I knew we hadn't successfully done everything we needed to do. But, you know, the puzzles here were fairly difficult. There were a couple early on that I thought that we got through really, really quickly. But toward the end, they got a little bit more complex for sure. And like I said, I think the red herring really threw us a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we missed a clue on a wall at one point until after we had started the process. So yeah, we took a little bit more time than we needed to. We were close, definitely, I feel.
Oh yeah, we were at the last part.
Yeah, actually we were entering numbers on the keypad to get us out of the room, but we just had not quite figured out the correct number pattern when we got there. And so yeah, we didn't quite get out, but I know we were close. And again, it's a really difficult room. We had a really good time. I love the environment in this room. And I love the fact that, you know, I started out by mentioning how dark it was, Mike. And then did you notice, and I think this is really cool about this room, that the lighting kept changing over and over again. And at times the light would be brighter and the light would be dimmer, sort of depending on where you were, I think. I don't know how much control is being done. That's probably all pre-programmed. But it was really effective. And we walked into one area of it that was very dark. And I literally, almost as a joke, there was a lamp on a table. And just kidding myself, I was like, okay, there's a lamp on a table. There is no way I can going to be able to turn this lamp on. And I literally just reach up and turn the lamp on. Like, that actually worked. And so we had a little bit more light to work with, but I just thought it was funny that it was like, oh wow, that's a functional lamp.
So basically what you're saying is that you were enlightened.
Yes, I was.
Glory be.
I'm glad it was something fun. I'm glad we had a chance to do it. Do recommend that room to people who are, I don't think this is a beginner room personally.
Oh no, this was hard. Yeah. And they even said this is the hardest out of all three of them.
Right.
That they have.
And I do want to go back because they also have the tiki themed escape room, which has been recommended to us by a couple of friends who say it's really, really fun.
And one of the things that I want to mention that I loved about this room, and I really hope that more people can end up doing this, but they had a side puzzle, and if you were able to figure out the side puzzle and escape, you got prizes. And I just think that's so cool. I mean, Crossroads Escape Games does this as well in the Hex Room, and it's just so cool. You know, like he said that, you know, when you solve it, you get a key, and then you can kind of do a Price is Right sort of thing and pick a random box to unlock, and there could be free tickets in there. There could be,
I think they said there were puzzles that you could take home.
Yeah. They're basically gifts and prizes. And I just think that's so cool. It gives you a little something extra to strive for, and everybody likes getting stuff.
Yeah. And that side puzzle was difficult as hell too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very challenging, but when they explained it to us, actually really cool. Oh, and I love just the fact that, you know, we were in a room with Christmassy stuff, and you know, you're using Christmas figurines and stuff as part of the adventure. So yeah, a thumbs up on this room. Really, really fun. Even though we did not escape, we needed a little bit more time that we did not have. Still really, really fun. If you want to check out the Krampus Room, their main website is countdownescape.com/LA. Do a search on Facebook for Countdown Live Escape Games LA. Look for them on Twitter at CountdownLA or on Instagram, all one word, Countdown Escape LA. And you will find information about all three of their rooms there.
On the last podcast, we mentioned virtual reality quests, and we did their beta test. And we do recommend it. It's super fun. We got an email stating that they are finally going to open, and they're selling tickets. And there is a 50% off code. So if you're in the area and you would like to try them, here's the code to get 50% off your tickets. It's Quest Hero. And that's with a capital Q and a capital H, but it's all one word. So capital Q, U-E-S-T, capital H-E-R-O. That code expires May 29th, and that code will get you 50% off your tickets. And you can find them on the web at virtualrealityquests.com and search Facebook for Virtual Reality Quests. One thing coming up that Russell and I are really excited for is the Fringe Festival in Los Angeles. It happens every June, and it's about over 200 different plays going on. A lot of these take place on Santa Monica Boulevard. They're all within walking distance for the most part. And there's a couple that we saw straight away that we want to recommend. You know, obviously we're into horror and we're into dark, fun things like that. We love B movies. So my first recommendation is the Toxic Avenger musical. I love Toxie. I love Troma. And the fact that there's a musical about the Toxic Avenger is awesome. So I'm going to be going to that. The next one is also a musical, Alien versus Musical. And we went to this last year.
This was a blast last year. And I'm so happy to see it coming back to the Fringe Festival.
Yeah. And another one is called The Truth. And that's going to be an immersive theater piece. And so we're really looking forward to that. And then the last one I saw that I'm really, really stoked on is called Bump in the Night, Tales of Monsters and Fools. And the description makes it sound like it's a cross between a ghost hunting show and Expedition Unknown and all of those Travel Channel type shows. So I'm super into those shows, so I'm excited to go to this. We're going to be writing an article on and give you more information about the stuff we're looking forward to and links to everything. In the meantime, if you want to look at the over 200 list of plays, you can check that out at hollywoodfringe.org. And once again, that takes place in the month of June.
Something also that I'd like to point out about the Fringe Festival is it covers a whole lot of different types of theater and types of performances. So definitely we recommend you go to their website and check them out. There's a little bit of something for everyone. This Fringe Festival over the last few years, I've been attending for, I think, 3 years now. It really has expanded immensely, and it covers such a wide territory. I guarantee you, you'll find something interesting that you will want to go and check out. Definitely look at their website. Something else that has happened in the last week, in the haunt world, some people who listen to this podcast know that I work with Evil Twin Studios, which created the Theater of Terror and Ward 13. In the past few years, we've been creating a charity haunt in Pasadena, California. Unfortunately, we had to make a disappointing announcement this week. Evil Twin Studios, due to location issues, we will not be doing a haunt this year. People have been asking me about it for a while on a personal level when I go to events, and it became official, and there was a press release sent out that Evil Twin Studios, unfortunately, we will not be doing a haunt this year. We've run into something that so many haunts run into, and that is location issues. We're not able to go to the same location that we had last year because the city of Pasadena has plans for that. And we actually knew that last year going into the haunt. But, you know, definitely Evil Twin Studios is so appreciative of the community support that has been shown. It's been an awesome, humbling experience, the amount of support that it gets. However, if you would like to keep up with Evil Twin Studios, I would like to give the website, which is eviltwinstudios.com, and you can find us on Facebook at Evil Twin Studios, at Twitter at Evil Twin Studios, and on Instagram at Evil Twin Studios. And if you go to the website, check out some of the video promos from years past. You'll get an idea of the flavor of the haunts that Evil Twin Studios has created in the past. And we should be back next year with something fun. So But that's something which a lot of my haunt friends have been asking about, and I keep running into people who hadn't heard the news yet. So I just wanted to mention it here at the end of the podcast. Thanks for all the support in the past. Evil Twin Studios will return. But for now, just go and watch some videos on the website. You'll even get a very, very brief glimpse of Mike here and there on that website.
Oh, man. I forgot about that.
I kept pulling Mike into the promo videos. Like, hey, wait, I need to tie somebody to a wheelchair. Would you sit over there? And he always is willing to do things like that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's such a bum out because the past few years, I mean, Evil Twin has done my one, like every year it's been one of my top three.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
And it's true, man. I mean, you guys were doing something amazing and it was just so much fun and your haunts, and it's a bum out, but I mean, you know, silver lining to everything, you get your October back and you actually get to do stuff.
That is true. And I am thinking that this might be an October where I actually fit in everything that I want to fit in, hopefully. Nah, I'm gonna be too busy.
I was going to make a joke, but I won't.
Please don't. Okay, so moving on, Mike.
Yeah, so we're not going to end this podcast on a down note, like a bum out about one of the best haunts not happening this year. But we want to give love back to the people that gave us love. So a couple people since the last podcast have really shown us a great deal of love and affection. Kristen, El Paso Horror Society, I mentioned them earlier. Go check them out. Listen to their podcast. You know, thank you. We love you guys. And Kimberly, Electric Hippo on the Tension Forums, she gave the podcast so much love and got everybody to try to listen to it. And it's really appreciated. It means a lot. Thank you so much. And finally, Lucas in Chicago, thank you so much for the message. You sent an amazing, really, really, really super nice message to us. And it's so appreciated. And he was asking about if we knew of any events in Chicago, and we knew a couple, but we don't know everything, obviously, because we're in LA. But if there's people listening that know of events in Chicago, please let us know. You can tweet us at My Haunt Life, and so that way we can pass the word over to Lucas. And thank you again. Thank you to everybody. That about wraps it up. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to tweet us at My Haunt Life. Or you can email us at mike@myhauntlife.com.
Or russell@myhauntlife.com.
With two S's and two L's, tension. Well, they got the email right. They just didn't spell it in the email. So I guess they got that part.
I was laughing about that. It was very funny.
Just kidding, OOA. We love you. Glory be. So that about does it. Thank you again for listening. And I'm Mike.
And I'm Russell.
And thanks again.
You've really, you just really like threw me.
Sorry.
No.
I'm strong.